You're listening to the podcast of Village Church in Burbank, California. To learn more about Village Church, visit our website at villagechurchburbank.org. We hope you enjoy today's message.
These last few weeks, we've been waiting during Advent with the prophet Isaiah, this poet-prophet that lived 700 years before Jesus was born. And we've been looking at the Christmas poems of Isaiah. Of course, he would not have thought of them as Christmas poems. He didn't know the word Christmas. But what Isaiah was foreseeing and foretelling in his poems has actually become the primary source of so many of our Christmas carols and Christmas cards that we share. And we've been looking at some of those during the last few weeks here in Advent leading up to Christmas. And now on Christmas Eve, we're going to look at one more of Isaiah's Christmas poems. It may be the best of all of them. I think it's probably the clearest, most explicit of all of those poems, because it's in this one that he speaks of a child being born. And it's his Prince of Peace poem, Isaiah 9. Let's look at a large section of it. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied exaltation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Great will be his authority, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amen. Now keep in mind that Isaiah wrote this Prince of Peace poem 700 years before the birth of Jesus. The poem begins with Isaiah describing Galilee, or he also calls it the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. He describes it as a land of doom and gloom. In verse 1, he says, "But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations." And this land he's talking about, Galilee, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, because of its location, it was the site of many bloody battles. And Isaiah describes Galilee as being distressed by gloom, heavily oppressed, and lightly esteemed. But then Isaiah says that in the future, the people of that land, the land of Galilee, will see a great light. And instead of doom and gloom, the people of Galilee will have an abundance of joy. And he says wars will cease, and the blood-stained garments of battle will become a relic of the past. Well, what happens that causes this change for the fortunes of Galilee? He says, well, for unto us a child is born, and there was a son that's given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So that's the birth the birth of this child that we're celebrating today. Now, the shepherds who were keeping watch over their flock by night, they were the first to know about the birth of this baby that was foretold by Isaiah. The angels told them, as Luke records it, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men.'" Okay, so here's the big thought that I want to offer you to reflect on this afternoon. With the birth of Jesus Christ, the world is given a new government. Someone say hallelujah to that. It's the government of heaven. It's the government of peace and goodwill. And heaven's government of peace and goodwill, which has come to earth, has come because the Prince of Peace has been born and has now been enthroned, and the government is now upon his shoulders. Now, if you hear me say that, you say, "Ryan, I can't wait for that. Oh, I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait for the government to be on Jesus' shoulders. I can't wait for this government of peace and goodwill to come. I can't wait for it." Then I'm going to tell you today, then don't wait for it. Believe it and live into it right now. Just say, "That's my government. That's the government I live under." Do it right now. You say, "Well, Ryan, can we really do that though? Can we actually live like we believe the words the Christmas carols we're singing today? Can we actually live this way? I mean, look at the world. It's so full of evil and bloodshed and warfare and horrific atrocities. Can we actually live that way?" By God's grace, sure we can. People do it all the time, sometimes in the most remarkable ways. I'm going to give you one example and then I'll finish what I'm going to say. But I'm thinking in particular of the true story of the Christmas truce. It's a true story. It was 1914. Europe was being torn apart by World War I. On the Western Front, British and French troops were allied against German troops. And now they had entered into the hell and the horror of trench warfare that would take so many countless lives and be the formal introduction of modern warfare upon the world. 1914, get a picture in your mind, World War I, 100,000 French, British, and German troops in their trenches on Christmas. On Christmas, shivering in the cold, hunkered down in their trenches, in the bloody hell that was sweeping across Europe. But it was Christmas. And something remarkable happens. One brave soldier starts singing some of these Christmas carols in German. Other German soldiers join him, and they begin singing their Christmas carols. You know, some of our Christmas carols were originally German songs. And so they're singing their Christmas carols in German. And then it begins to grow, it begins to spread. And then in the opposite trench, however many feet away, British troops and French troops start joining in. Now the Germans are singing in German, the French are singing in French, the Brits are singing in English, of course, but the tune is the same. The tune is the same. So even if you don't know German, you can join in. And here you have these troops in both of these trenches. They're taught to hate one another and kill one another, and they're singing Christmas carols together. And then one of these troops has enough boldness to stick his head up above that trench, and nobody takes a shot. And eventually, troops start climbing out of those trenches, leaving their guns by their side, and they walk onto the battlefield and they meet one another. This is a true story. I want to show a picture. There's several pictures from that day. Christmas Day, 1914, on the Western Front, the Germans and the British and the French came up out of their trenches. And they met on the battlefield. And first they exchanged handshakes and gifts. Then, if you can believe it, they shared communion together. And then, believe it or not, they played a soccer match. Because that's how we settle things. We're going to play a soccer match to settle this. We're going to act like civilized people. And to this day, there's a memorial to that event. If you go to the location, it's a field out in France. But if you go and find this location, there's a monument that stands there to commemorate the day when soldiers took communion and turned a battleground into a playground. And instead of trying to kill each other, they said, let's exchange gifts and play a soccer match. And if you go and find that field today, it's customary to bring a soccer ball with you and leave it at the foot of that monument. Now listen, when they did that, when those soldiers came up out of those trenches, entrenched in us versus them, when they came up out of those trenches singing common carols and took communion, they were living under God's government of peace and goodwill. And how did such a thing happen? By singing Christmas carols and acting as though the words they sang are true. So I think what we're going to do today in the spirit of the Christmas truce of 1914 is we're going to stand to our feet right now. I want to welcome you to your feet. And today we're going to sing a few Christmas carols together. And then after a few Christmas carols, I'm going to come back up and we're going to share communion together, just like those soldiers. And then when we close this service, I doubt you're going to want to go out and play a soccer match in the weather. But go out and live as if the words we're about to sing are true. And let's be citizens of God's government of peace and goodwill. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. To learn more about Village Church, visit our website at villagechurchburbank.org.